This is Ron Moss from the Heart. I was at a conference or somewhere the other day, and I was sitting around a table, and I started looking around at, you know, the dignitaries and how, you know, we announce certain people, you know, to give them, I guess, their due, I guess. And somehow we, in our world, we've kind of decided to, you know, unfortunately, we do treat people differently. You know, that's what we do. Then, depending on your profession or your title, you know, and we're kind of, whether we accept it or not, you know, we are kind of a following society. That means we kind of follow trends. You know, this trend does this, then we're more apt to do that too. So I'm sitting there, and I begin to ask myself this question. Why do I minimize who I am because somebody maximizes who somebody else is? It seems to be automatic, right? If you really think about it, we have over here Dr. So-and-so and the county official or government official. We have this individual, and then you kind of, at least I do, self-consciously, I kind of minimize who I am, because they're not going to really recognize me for, you know, there's Ron Moss sitting there doing the things that he do. He's involved. He's active. He does what he does. Or the individual who's sitting there who just wanted to come and support what was going on. And we're just happy that she's here or he's here. And so self-consciously, are we being minimized because we don't have a certain title? Because we don't fit in a certain group? Because we don't fit in a certain clique? That we kind of consciously and self-consciously look at folk and we kind of minimize them. Think about this. Think about the people that you socialize with on a regular basis, right? It's understandable that if you work in engineering, you know, your great conversations are usually going to be tied into people who relate to your field, relate to what you deal with on a daily basis. If your field is pastoring, you're going to probably talk to, you know, your subscription of people that you're going to deal with are probably going to line up, you know, most of the time in that spiritual category, right? If you're in the medical industry, if you're a doctor or a nurse or administrator in the hospital, you're more apt to line up in most of your conversations, most of the people you will spend time with besides your immediate family will probably be people more lined up in that professional arena. Now, in doing that, let's use the hospital as an example. The patients, the people who have to come and get help or get medical attention or pay a bill or whatever the case may be, they're somewhat automatically minimized, right? They're not as important as the people that you deal with in that industry or profession on a regular basis. Now, why am I saying this? Because I always find myself riding in certain neighborhoods. You know, I'm that kind of person that like to drive. And sometimes my best thinking is when I'm driving. And I've seen neighborhoods, certain neighborhoods that even the names have changed. You know, those particular apartment communities, the name has changed. But the people through generations unfortunately, in some instances, have remained the same. If you've had a mother or grandmother who lived in low-income housing, there is a good possibility that your daughter and your daughter's daughter may have trickled through that process too. And now, because of the rest of society outside of that apartment community has already labeled that community, those folk who live in that community are minimized. They don't really matter as much. I know this kind of real talk, so I know some people push back from it. But if you're honest with yourself, then you can't help but agree. In your own family, right? Let's use that. Let's use our own family. There are people in our own family, second cousins, third cousins, fourth cousins, fifth cousins, sixth cousins, seven cousins, eight cousins, nine cousins. I'll stop at 10. Who we minimize. Because we have put ourselves in a certain category. And if you don't do those certain things, then you can't really fit into what I do, or I don't want you around me because you may make me look bad, or people will begin to minimize me. I can't let that happen because you ain't doing right, because I have this list of things that I believe that puts me in this place. And if you can't line up with those things, then I take a chance on you minimizing me, or you people putting me in your community. Let's call it the minimized community. Why are you saying this? Because I see how in our community, this African American community, this African American village that we hold on dear to and try to at least sometimes we make it seem like we care about each other. But most of the time, we've already separated or segregated ourselves. If you're not wealthy, let's do it this way. If you're not upper class African American, you can forget about spending any time, or you can forget about having a relationship with anybody that we deemed in the lower class. If you're a middle class African American, you're not going to minimize yourself and deal with folk that you've deemed in the poor class. If you belong to a certain income bracket, you know, there's an old saying that dollar bills or $10 bills don't like to hang out with dollar bills. $10 bills like to hang out with $10 bills and $20 bills and $30 bills. They're not going to go and hang out with a dollar bill. And that's society, too. Okay, how do you fix this, Mr. Moss? You're talking about all this stuff. How do you turn it around? Well, you know, we have a large religious community that we participate in. I say participate, there's a difference, because I want to say serve, but most of us don't serve, we participate. If we're being honest, I mean, this the kind of conversation where you got to be honest. So as we continue to participate and not serve, then we'll continue to minimize our sisters and our brothers, or biblically, our neighbors. So until we can learn how to treat our brothers and sisters as equals, Only then will we begin to see our community, particularly our African-American community, will turn around. It's hard to get somebody to be better when you don't treat them better. Right? If you don't treat that cousin, that nephew, and you don't ever ride to the projects because you scared, or at least that's what you tell yourself. You ain't driving out there. You ain't going to get robbed. That's what you tell yourself. I can't reach him on the phone. I just don't like to be around. That's what you tell yourself. Because you know you'll find some other people that will line up with you. And that's all you need, two or three, four people, to talk down the other brothers and sisters. Then you're good. Right? I call it, we used to have a term called misery loves company. I'll click it a little bit and say ignorant misery needs company. Let's do it that way. Ignorant misery needs company. So you have to change the way you see things and the way you see people. And you got to stop just being there and start serving. Start making a difference. Start showing and having the feeling of caring. Showing that you care. Being a, you know, that old crab in the barrel mentality. When you get to the top and you look down and you see the other brothers and sisters putting their hand up, reaching up. And instead of you reaching back down to pull somebody up with you, you close the top. And you walk away. I don't know. I have a saying. It was a book that Judge Jordan from Virginia had wrote. It was titled that we can make it together. I got to be honest with you. It's 2023. And we still ain't figured it out yet. It's still just a word. It hadn't turned into action yet. I'm hopeful. I'm optimistic. One day, when I say that, it'll have some meaning behind it too. But not until we treat everyone the same way we want to be treated. Every minute, every hour, and every day. God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. Oh, yeah. Peace.